Well, good morning, folks. October 13th, 2019, AD, Anno Domini, Year of Our Lord. And I'm going to call upon Mrs. Lear to open us in prayer today.
Well, Heavenly Father, all we need to do is look out the window and see the glory of your splendor. In this autumn day, this autumn season, and we just thank you for the beauty of every season in life that you give us. And I just pray that we would have hearts to receive that beauty and to see it for what it is, not to lament what's past, but to be in the moment that you give us and just relish that, treasure it. Make the very best of it that we possibly can. Lord, I thank you too, Jesus, for the various situations that you put each one of us in every day, every week, certain opportunities that we have, if we look at them that way, to see and understand the world that we live in the context of what you intend for us. Just pray that our hearts would be prepared to receive those messages that you send us. And Holy Spirit, that you tap us on the shoulder and point and direct us to see things for what they are. Not for what we want them to be, but for what they are and how they stand up side by side with your word and your teaching. We thank you for all of that, Lord, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you stood by Pastor Lear today and given him the message that you desire for us to hear. In your name, Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Great prayer. Well, now that we have opened in prayer, it's time to give praise. You ready to sing? Good. Number 8 on your song sheet from Psalm 108. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to thee among the people, for thy steadfast love is great. Is great to the heavens, and thy faithfulness to the cloud. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. I lift my eyes up unto the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me, to come and give me life. Oh, I waited for the Lord on high. I waited, and he heard my cry. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited, and he heard my cry. You pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk. from fear into security, from quicksand unto rock. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited, and he heard my cry. There's a new song in my heart to sing. There's a new song, praises to my King. You pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk. From fear into security, from quicksand unto rock. Come, now is the time to worship. Oh, come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue shall confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. And folks, that day is going to come when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. I'm looking forward to that day. And now we're going to try Jesus Culture Lyrics, 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul,
worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing. The evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I'll keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing praise unending, 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. Praise the Lord. Yes. Matt Redman. Great song. And of course, I like the idea of commanding my soul, bless the Lord. You can't be lazy in the things of the Lord, that's for sure. Well, in my quips and quotes for this week, our emotions are notoriously unreliable and more easily manipulated than our reason. And our reason is obviously weak due to mankind's fallen state. Christ blazes into our souls with power from on high to steal our reason so that we can suffer for him no matter the condition of our relations or emotions. The will is empowered by reason. It tends to be weakened or softened by passions. Think about that and all the other things. When occasions present themselves in which the interests of the people are at variance with their inclinations, it is the duty of the persons whom they have appointed to be the guardians of those interests to withstand the temporary delusion in order to give them time and opportunity for more cool and sedate reflection. Alexander Hamilton, 1788. But if we are to be told by a foreign power what we will do, what we shall do, and what we shall not do, we have independence yet to seek and have contended here too for very little. George Washington, 1796. Our prayer should be that every born-again Christian will be well-versed enough in Scripture and will be able to recognize an authentic church for today. One that is based on God's holy word, and one that honors true biblical order in their church. You see, I gotta separate these phrases here, and let me finish the last one. And one that honors the true biblical order in their church. You see, could, would, and should are modal verbs, which usually express ideas such as possibility, necessity, and permission. And could have, should have, and would have are sometimes called modals of lost opportunities. These word phrases work like grammatical time machines in that they tell us what could have, what should have, and what would have happened. And again, these are the very reasons why I want to draw our focus to these possible complications and mischances. There's a quote by author S.L. Gray that says, could have, should have, would have, didn't. Don't let that be the truth. Don't let that be the result. Don't let that be the end. Where there is no law, there is no liberty. And nothing deserves the name of law but that which is certain and universal in its operation upon all the members of the community. Benjamin Rush, 1788. The Christian life is a strenuous life. Yes, folks, the Christian life is a strenuous life. Some days are hard. Some days have great discouragements. We continue to be barraged with one assault after another on truth and the Church of Jesus Christ. Perseverance must always be our battle cry. Almighty God calls us to faithfulness, not perfection. Men who get up after they are knocked down, men that regularly repent and seek the Lord, men that do not faint from weariness of well-doing, he greatly rewards. God blesses men and women who work day in and day out, instilling in their children and those around them by quiet example and by bold conversation the truths of the gospel. A wise and frugal government shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, 1801. Be faithful and fearless no matter the cost. Be faithful and fearless no matter the cost. Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without the freedom of speech. Benjamin Franklin. Do you think these people knew what they were talking about? I certainly do think that. Well, you've probably been watching the news about what's going on in California. And California has officially slipped into the third world status. As California's largest utility, Pacific Gas and Electric, spins out of control, citizens are regressing to violence, prompting the company to erect concrete barricades around its facilities to protect its employees. This is the long-term result of regulatory mismanagement and corporate malfeasance. The ultra-leftist leadership in California has literally turned the Golden State into a banana republic that is a national disgrace. And of course, the PG&E has cut power to millions of people. I wonder, when people have often said, as California goes, the rest of the nation. Well, I want to tell you something. That would not speak well. That bodes not well for the rest of the nation, what's going on in California right now. And of course, some of the other things going on in California, disgusting habits and trash and everything else going on in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and a lot of those beautiful places. Now, I want to read a little statement here. I think it's worth looking at. Fighting for the less fortunate is our God-given duty. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 through 9. Many countries do not incorporate this mandate as part of their mission. Venezuela is one, and China is another. In fact, China currently has 4 million of the 40 million slaves in the world, and is consistently among the worst nations for violent persecution of Christians. It's an oppressive and tyrannical nation, yet presidential candidate Bernie Sanders praised it. What we have to say about China, in fairness to China and its leadership, is, if I'm not mistaken, they have made more progress in addressing extreme poverty than any country in the history of the civilization. So they've done a lot of things for their people. How has China lifted millions of its citizens out of poverty? China's famous Great Leap Forward initiative to move the nation into socialism that would provide for all its citizens involved mass murder, religious persecution, forced abortion, and famine. As one commentator summarized, dead people aren't poor, just dead. Does Senator Sanders really believe their current attempt to obliterate poverty justifies the horrors of communism? Just ask the protesters in Hong Kong if they want China's version of its pledge to lift all of China's 1.4 billion people out of poverty by 2020. There's a reason Hong Kongers are waving American flags and not Chinese ones. The fruits of communism in countries like China and socialism in countries like Venezuela are evident, and they are consistently bad. Ironically, Sanders once praised Venezuela as a place where the American dream is more apt to be realized. Sanders should start studying the effects of communism and socialism, especially if he intends to implement similar measures if elected the President of the United States. Liberty is always to preferred to oppression. In the famous words of Patrick Henry, if life is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery, forbid it, Almighty God. I know what course others may take, but for me, give me liberty or give me death. We should always be gracious to the needy, Proverbs 14:31, and one way of doing that is not to enable or praise countries that consistently violate human rights as China and Venezuela do. And God forbid that somebody like Bernie Sanders should become President of the United States. I would say that if that were to happen, I would describe that as certainly the judgment of God on America, that such an old fool as that man, how he ever got to be a senator, I don't know. He criticizes Israel and the Jewish people, and he's Jewish himself. And of course, he's just recently had heart problems. Sorry to hear that, but he is very old, and we'll see what happens. But the statements he's made, if people believe in him, I can't believe anybody would vote for him. But that's a whole other subject for another time. Today, I want you to take your Bibles in hands, in your hand, or in both hands, whichever it takes. I can hold my Bible in one hand. You probably can too. And turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. We'll read that entire chapter. It's not very long. Proverbs chapter 19. There are actually 29 verses, I believe, in that chapter. So I'm going to ask Mrs. Lear to read the first 14 verses, and I'll read the final 15 verses.
Proverbs chapter 19, verses 1 through 14 from the English Standard Version. Better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against the Lord. Wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friend. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. Many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. All a poor man's brothers hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but does not have them. Whoever gets sense loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will discover good. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish. It is not fitting for a fool to live in luxury, much less for a slave to rule over princes. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. A king's wrath is like the growling of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. A foolish son is ruin to his father, and a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain. House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. That's Proverbs chapter 19, verses 1 through 14 from the English Standard Version.
And I am going to continue reading Proverbs 19. In the English Standard Version, beginning at verse 15. Slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Whoever keeps the commandments keeps his life. He who despises his ways will die. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. A man of great wrath will pay the penalty. For if you declare him, if you deliver him, you will only have to do it again. Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. What is desired in a man is steadfast love. A poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth. Strike a scoffer, and the simple will learn prudence. Reprove a man of understanding, he will gain knowledge. He who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A worthless witness mocks at justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Condemnation is ready for scoffers, and beating for the backs of fools. Praise God from the reading of his word. I've just finished reading the 15th to 29th verse of Proverbs 19 in the English Standard Version. Today, briefly, I would like to use as the theme of this message, Stripes of a Fool. Stripes of a Fool. Now, we know that zebras have stripes on their back. Otherwise, if we didn't see the stripes on a zebra's back, or I should say on their skin, we wouldn't know as a zebra. It might look like a horse, like a small horse or something. So the zebra is known by his stripes. And of course, tigers and other animals that have stripes in their body helps us differentiate them between them and other animals. Isn't that interesting that the Lord has made sure that these animals all had identifying markings? Well, the Lord has also done the same thing, as we read in this passage of Scripture, for fools. The stripes of a fool. Now, of course, when we look at biblically stripes, for example, Jesus took 39 stripes on his back for us in a beating. And that was, of course, the punishment that the Romans did with the cat and nine tails. So stripes could also mean beatings, or stripes can mean punishment. And the particular context here in Proverbs 19, the stripes, and of course we read in the last verse of the chapter, and beating for the backs of fools. We've just talked about in my quips and quotes about Bernie Sanders. He is a fool, there's no doubt about it. Or somebody like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's a fool. And there's lots of them. Unfortunately, a lot of them happen to be in positions of authority where they shouldn't be in the first place, because the Lord has made it clear in this chapter of Scripture. In fact, oh, how I would love to stand before the United States Congress and read this and point the finger at them and say, I guess you've never read this chapter of Scripture, or most of you probably never read Scripture at all. So how would you know what a good government is? And of course, I promise you that our founding fathers and founding mothers were very familiar with Scripture and very familiar with this part of Scripture, and that's part of the reason we have many things built into, for example, the Bill of Rights. Somebody will tell you the Bible has nothing to do with American culture. That's foolishness. That's the stripes of a fool. Somebody would tell you the Bible had nothing to do with the founding of America. That's the stripes of a fool. The Bible absolutely had conditions that were being met in the founding of America. And many of those things that are mentioned here, for example, desire without knowledge is not good. Many people desire a lot of things that, and we've often said, be careful what you ask for, because the Lord might give it to you because you keep asking for it. You desire it, but it isn't good. And so I always teach people, pray, asking the Lord for it, and Lord, if this is not a good thing for me to have, then give me what is. Because I don't want the stripes of a fool. I don't want to have the stripes of a fool on my back. Now, we are facing whistleblowers, and we're facing accusations against Supreme Court justices and so forth that continues on. Well, in verse number 5, a false witness will not go unpunished. We have false witnesses in Bill and Hillary Clinton. We have false witnesses in all manner and speaking in all levels of government, and they do go unpunished. Even though the Lord says a false witness will not go unpunished. We watched a program the other night that the marshal said at the end of the program, he said, well, maybe they'll escape justice in this life, but they won't escape justice in the life to come. So you need to know that, folks. The fools, stripes of a fool are obvious. And many of the fools, part of their foolishness is that they don't believe there's a God, or they don't believe God is watching, or they don't believe that God means what he says. Those are all the stripes of a fool. And you hear those kind of things coming out of people's mouths. And then, of course, it's repeated again in verse 9. A false witness will not go unpunished. So twice in the same chapter, in verse 5, and then in verse 9, a false witness will not go unpunished. Well, that says to us, bearing false witness, of course, is a sin. It's against the Ten Commandments. But bearing false witness, when you go into a court, hopefully a court of law, not a lawless court, but a court of law, that you put your hand on the Bible, they don't do that anymore. I had to bring my own Bible in one time, and so we don't do that anymore. Well, I still do. I put my hand in the Bible. One judge told me, don't even bring that Bible to the witness stand because you can't do that. I said, okay, I'll leave it over here on the bench, and I'll raise my right hand, and I'll put my other hand out as if I was putting it on the Bible and swear that oath, because a false witness will not go unpunished. So I don't want to be a false witness, and neither should you or anyone else, and people in government are doing it all the time, not just government, in church, and everything else. Now, when we're talking about the poor, many people may be poor because they're slothful. And that's a word that is in the English Standard, but also in the King James at verse 15. Slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Somebody the other day posted something that was incorrect about the Plymouth Colony. Well, didn't they practice socialism there, or communism there? And I did say, well, they did for a couple of years until they found out that there were people who were idle and they were lazy. Those are also the stripes of a fool, laziness or idleness. And so those people were going to live off of the other people who were out working when it was cold, when it was rainy, when it was windy, when they prefer to stay in their nice warm beds. Of course, that's not how it worked. So they said, your failure to plant when everyone was given their own land. You don't plant your land, you won't have food to eat in the winter, and you're not coming to the community warehouse to take it out. And so we have today many people who are starving because they're lazy or because they're idle. There are people who are poor not because they're lazy or idle. Many times there are people that are the working poor. That's a whole different story. But idle people are not supposed to be fed. They're supposed to be challenged to work and get out and do things. A man of great wrath will pay the penalty, for if you deliver him, you will only have to do it again. So people who have bad behavior, instead of being instructed as they should be instructed according to what the Bible says, including talking about disciplining your son for his future, and do not set your heart on putting him to death. So the idea is instruction here. The Lord wants us to be instructed because we have a human nature, which is a sinful nature, and only the nature of Christ can be imposed upon it to change it. And so we don't want to tolerate those that are sluggards, that are lazy, and take away from people that are hardworking and give it to them. We want to help the poor, and we want to help them get out of their poverty, and of course, teaching them to be wise, teaching them to gain the Lord's knowledge, and all those things. All of this is contained in this chapter. What is desired in a man is steadfast love, and a poor man is better than a liar. So you might be poor out there, but don't be a liar, because the stripes of a fool are lying. One of the stripes of the fool, and there are many stripes, as I said, and I'm trying to rush this all into one capsule, if you want to put it that way. There are many stripes of a fool, and one of those stripes is that a poor man is better than a liar. A liar is a stripe. The stripe of a fool is being a liar. Not all poor men are liars. Many poor men are not liars at all. They're very honest, and sometimes that's one of the reasons why they're poor. Many have been well-to-do and ruined because they told the truth. But it's better to tell the truth and be ruined financially than to have the stripes of a fool. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. The sluggard buries his head in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth. So, if you've been a sluggard, those are the stripes of a fool. If you've been a slothfulness, and you think about a sluggard, this is imagery. We'll call it some kind of onomatopoeia, some kind of imagery like that, where a sluggard is like a snail. They move very slowly, and if you watch them moving, they leave a trail like of mucus. It's really pretty disgusting. And then, of course, the other is you have the sluggard and sloth. A sloth, like the three-toed sloth, is very slow. It's like they're trying to stay awake while they're going along. Well, the Lord wants us to be wide awake. He wants us to have the knowledge. And what knowledge do you want us to have? The knowledge of good. And everything that is good is from God. Everything that's not good is not from God. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Sometimes the stripes of a fool are trying to elaborate a lot of things in ways that shouldn't be elaborated at all. Like trying to explain abortion away by calling it a voluntary termination of pregnancy. Or calling homosexuality okay because it's just a matter about love. Those are all stripes of a fool. And what happens to the fool? In the very end, the fool is discarded. You strike a scoffer, and the simple will learn prudence. Reprove a man of understanding, and he will gain knowledge. Now there's a difference there, as we're looking at verse 25. Strike a scoffer, and the simple will learn prudence. Stripes of a fool is being a scoffer. Don't scoff at things you don't understand. Don't scoff at people you don't understand. Don't be a scoffer. And the simple will learn prudence. But reprove a man of understanding, and he will gain knowledge. So correcting somebody who is a person with some understanding, in other words, a person that's not loaded with the stripes of a fool, when you reprove that man, and what does reprove mean? Correct? Reprove? Saying, okay, you got to prove that. I just went through this on a Facebook post somebody put up, that I had to reprove the man by telling him the factual information. Yes, I know this is what you have been taught, but it isn't correct. I do that all the time. Why do I do it? Because it's not because I'm a know-it-all. It's not because I know so much. It's because the things that I do know, I know, and I try to prove those things and reprove them. Once you've proven them, prove them again. I remember my dad, of course, was a skilled craftsman. He'd say, okay, have you measured? Yes. Well, measure it again. Don't cut till you've measured at least two times, maybe three. Prove that your measurement is right. And you know, so often I have measured things and drawn my lines and whatever else, but maybe I didn't have the triangle, the square, just square as I should have. And if I had cut, it wouldn't have worked. So measure once, measure twice, measure three times before you cut. Prove and reprove. And a person like that will gain knowledge. He who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. We see this happening all the time. Of parents that are doting on their children and not correcting them and allowing their children to do things to them that they should not be. And of course, worst of all, is what the children of God do to their Heavenly Father. I want to close by saying this. A worthless witness mocks at justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. The mouth of the wicked, okay, wicked, the stripes of a fool. What do the wicked eat? Well, according to the Bible here, in this verse 28, the wicked devour iniquity. The wicked love to eat sin. They love to talk about sin. Those are the stripes on a fool's back as well. Don't let that be you, and don't stand by and accept it in other people without bringing some reproval, some correction to them, and so forth and so on. Don't be surprised, and like I said in my quips and quotes, that Christianity is strenuous. Strenuous. It'll strengthen you. Let's pray. God our Father, we could continually pray, forgive us our sins, for we have trespassed against you. We can pray that as a nation, and we certainly do. We know that our country's in great jeopardy, not just by attack from foreign powers who would love to destroy us. But isn't it interesting that those Hong Kongers they waved American flags, that they still think of America as a place of freedom, of not a place like China of tyranny and so forth. They've missed that. They don't really know what the news is about America and, of course, what's going on throughout our country. That the trouble isn't just from without, the trouble's within. And I pray, Lord, that those in governmental power will be removed, will be replaced by someone better who understands these things and would not challenge you and not try to go against you and your ways. Oh, Lord, help us. We won't be dismayed, we won't be discouraged, and we won't be known by the stripes of a fool. We'll be known as the words of the wise. And we thank you, we praise you, in the name of our risen Savior, who is King of all creation, Jesus Christ. Amen.